always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lowdown. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider, as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside, joined on this fine. Is it fine? How you guys feeling? This is a safe space. How's everybody feeling today? Is it a fine day? It's a Monday. And it definitely feels like a Monday. It is a Monday that we are here in the lounge for, and we knew it was going to be a busy day because of the opt-in or out deadlines that teams and players had today. And it definitely lived up to the hype, as this morning it started with LeBron James and Anthony Davis apparently being something that the Golden State Warriors are working on. We then, a little bit later in the afternoon, basically minutes before I was going to go live, got word of the Ja Morant trade, where he is going from the Memphis Grizzlies to the Portland Trail Blazers, and he joins maybe the least sensible guard rotation in the league. So you have that going on. You have, quietly, you had Yusuf Nurkic, get a new contract from Utah that had us kind of wondering what's going on there. And then, unfortunately here for the Lakers, I am not hearing good things about Marcus Smart, who appears to be heading out the door to Houston, meaning that the Lakers will have to make up for even more talent that they could potentially be losing this summer. Rob Pelinka starting to get a little nervous. Can't lie. So a quick reminder, as always, please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Turn on notifications for the show and for YouTube. And then if you guys are listening to the show in the morning, or well, whenever you're listening to it via podcast, please subscribe to the show wherever it is that you get your podcast, and tell your friends about this thing too. It's been growing a lot lately and I really appreciate it. I would like for that to continue. That would be great. So yeah, let's start with the LeBron situation, which I'm sure everybody is probably most interested in. Shams Charania reported that Draymond Green was going to opt out of his player option that he had for this next season. And the reason that Draymond opted out of that contract was to help the Warriors be as flexible as they can possibly be as they attempt to make a big four. I guess Kevin O'Connor reported this the night before too, but the reporting is that the Warriors would be looking to acquire LeBron James, and in an effort to sweeten their offer to LeBron James, they would be willing to trade for Anthony Davis and go into next season with a big four of Steph, LeBron, AD, and Draymond Green. And not listed among those names, obviously, by Shams Charania was Jimmy Butler, whose contract, I would imagine, plus, you know, draft assets, would be going to Washington, so that, you know, and his contract lines up almost perfectly with Anthony Davis Davis's contract. And and if the Warriors want, I guess technically speaking, they can add another contract to that one, going out to Washington, so that they could maybe take back less money than they send out in the trade and avoid being a hard capped until they absolutely want to be hard capped. And in this scenario, the Warriors would be one of the oldest teams in the history of basketball. I've watched a team like that before. I've watched a team with LeBron and Carmelo and Dwight Howard and you know, the unction wasn't really that fun. Now, I think this one would have a higher ceiling than the one before, but I don't know. It would be fun to watch and all of that stuff if you believe that it is going to happen. The reason I'm a little skeptical about it happening, though, is because as I've been telling you guys, the noise that I've been hearing coming out of this, potentially extending relationship between the Lakers and LeBron James is that the two sides were going to eventually work out a deal in the range of 2 years, $50 million total. And what I will say that I heard earlier today is that, like, I don't think this is an outright bluff. Like, I don't think LeBron James is not at all interested in going to the Golden State Warriors, or he's not at all curious about playing with Steph Curry to end his career and all of that stuff. I do think that if the Lakers, if he feels disrespected by the Lakers, that he could follow through on this. The Warriors could pull off whatever trade they need to pull off, and LeBron can finish his career up in the Bay. I'm also aware of what I feel is a fact that the Lakers are cognizant of this not being a bluff, and I think it's a situation that they would take very seriously, but I also think it's a situation that they aren't, like, outright terrified by. Now, him going to the Bay in particular might, get some action out of the Lakers. And, you know, to that point, Chris Haynes reported that after, making it through basically this moratorium, without much communication, that the Lakers and LeBron are finally going to start their talks together. Something that I did have, somebody kind of throw a little cold water on that theory or that reporting. But anyway, LeBron going to the Bay in particular apparently would be kind of a hot topic for, like, a sore spot for the Lakers. In that, they are one of the few NBA teams that are worth more than the Lakers, which, these billionaires tend to care about. They are in the Lakers division, and the Lakers would see him four times at least this next season, not to mention preseason matchups. There's usually a Warriors-Lakers preseason matchup every year, not to mention potential playoff matchups, not to mention in-season tournament matchups like that could possibly happen. And that is something that the Lakers are obviously very aware of too. And so they are taking this thing seriously. I just don't think it's the kind of thing that they are like, oh fuck, we got to get this guy back now. So, I think it's a situation that can be resolved between the Lakers and LeBron. The other thing that, is a factor here is that Bronny James, his son, is on the team. So if LeBron does leave, I'm sure that he would probably ask the Lakers to either let Bronny out of his contract or which is fairly easy to do because Bronny, I have to check, Bronny James guaranteed contract. Yeah, so we didn't get word about Bronny's contract being guaranteed unless I missed it. But today is the guarantee date. So if he, if the Lakers either have to pick up the guarantee today or not, and if they don't, that I think would be pretty telling that LeBron is not back. I'm looking it up, and yeah, it says that. This is one of the things that I've been looking for. Let me just send a text really quick. All right. So we'll see what that comes back with. But yeah, so that'll be a factor, obviously. And if LeBron asks for the Lakers to let Bronny out of his contract, they can bring him back or whatever. But they would likely, you know, that would probably signal the end of that relationship between the Lakers and the James family. And we'll see what comes of it. Yeah, I just asked Jovan and Pete too, and Jovan is saying he hasn't heard anything either. So we haven't, like, the Lakers have been absolutely silent, which I'll talk about over the course of the show too, usually means something is about to happen. And obviously something has to happen because the time of year that it is. But the Lakers have been, like, even by Lakers standards, extremely quiet. And that is one thing that Rob Pelinka has valued is keeping everything that the Lakers are getting ready to do very close to the vest, for the sake of, you know, gained advantage, not having everybody know what they're thinking about doing, beyond the obvious. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out here between LeBron and the Lakers. I still keep thinking that he's probably back, but this is probably the most doubt I have had this summer on that front. And we're going to talk in a second about Marcus Smart, but his likely departure, I think, signals a bit of a tell from the Lakers on what they are looking to do, right? They headed into the summer with two options. You can either operate as an above the cap team by bringing back a big chunk of last year's roster, or you can say goodbye to a whole bunch of people and operate using cap space and then hope that you have a good enough relationship with those players that if you really, really want to bring them back, you can. We're going to talk about Marcus Smart here in a second. And I think some of what is going on there, at least in the Lakers, from the Lakers standpoint, kind of indicates to me which path they're taking. So let's go ahead and discuss that. Marcus Smart obviously went in today with a player option worth $5.1 million. He far exceeded that value last year by a lot. Not just in terms of, you know, the culture stuff that he helped with and defensively being like the only defensive minded guard that the Lakers had. Like he was fantastic. And I headed into this offseason really, really, really hoping that, he would be back with the Lakers again next year, which over the course of the summer so far, over the course of the last week, I have not gotten any good news on that front. It's been a lot of noise from everybody that I've spoken to that, like, he looks like he's going to Houston. And it's just gotten louder and louder and louder, and not in the way that, like, the LeBron thing is, like, there are several variables that need to take play or factors that need to swing a certain way for that situation to be, cemented. This is one of those, like, this is just team and player agree on number and length, and we are done here. He is an unrestricted free agent. The Lakers don't have an opportunity to match unless he wants to give them the opportunity to max. The figure is out there. It's a really poorly kept secret that it's a very reasonable contract on Marcus Smart. And if the Lakers were to lose him at the number that appears to be kind of circling around out there, I'd be a little pissed. I have it secondhand, so I'm not going to say what the number is until I actually get it myself. But losing Marcus Smart just to free agency, after you said goodbye to Jordan Goodwin the year before to be able to sign Marcus Smart, it would be a pretty big blow to the Lakers in an offseason where they're trying to get better. Like you can't start an offseason where you are trying to take a serious leap forward by immediately potentially losing three starters, essentially, or three key role players between LeBron potentially and Rui and Marcus Smart. Like if you lose all three of those guys, you take that big step back, that means you have to go that much further in your roster building to make the progress that you were hoping to make at the onset of the summer. So this would be a pretty brutal blow, and it appears that it's heading in that direction. One thing I'm looking, forward to is the eventual leaks that, we just never had a chance at Marcus because, he went to Oklahoma. Where did he go? He went to Marcus Smart. I think he went to Oklahoma State, right? Marcus Smart College. Yeah, he went to, Oklahoma State. And, he wanted to return to the area. We just didn't have a chance ever at retaining him. Turns out he's just too much of a Celtic at heart to continue on with the Lakers. He really, really, really wants to play with Ime Udoka. Like all of the cope that we're going to get on that front. Yeah, he is a Texas native. I thought so. All of the cope that we're going to get from the Lakers there after they lose a key figure in their roster and culture last year, and one of the few guys who plays defense and is also not a disaster offensively, this would suck and is going to suck. And when everybody finds out that number, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. I'm just, prepping you guys for that one. In good news, the Lakers did get an opt-in from DeAndre Ayton as he picked up his player option. Officially now, we always knew that he was probably going to. His player option is $8.1 million. There aren't very many teams around the league that trust him enough to pay him even that, let alone on a longer-term deal. So he continues on with the Lakers in a prove-it deal. One interesting thing that happened over the course of the day, I think this happened like right before we went live, Yusuf Nurkic got a new contract from Utah. And I thought that was really, really interesting in that they're already super costly, like a very expensive front court between Jaren Jackson Jr. and Lauri Markkanen, and then the deal that Walker Kessler might be getting. I thought for sure that Yusuf Nurkic would become available via free agency just for the sake in Utah's case of opening up some room to eventually be able to pay Keontae George and continue to fill out their roster as they continue to get more expensive. But no, they keep him they keep Nurkic on his deal. It's a 2-year, $22 million contract, which usually indicates that a guy's going to play, right? $11 million per usually indicate. And he was a big part of what they were doing last year. Remember, Kessler got hurt really early in the season. And, Nurkic became a really important part of Will Hardy's system there. And made a really solid case for himself to remain in Utah. And now they did that. So I initially, when I thought Nurkic was going to go, I thought, well, if the Lakers do enter or continue the trade talks that they've been having with Utah, maybe DeAndre Ayton goes to Utah in that scenario so that they get some center minutes back for him as kind of insurance there. But Utah proactively signed their insurance here by keeping Nurkic, and it'll be interesting to see if they want more insurance, right? Like if a trade does go down, does Ayton still go back to Utah, seeing as Utah would be saying goodbye to their starting center, or have they now said maybe they're preparing themselves for an offer from the Lakers that they wouldn't be matching, and they went out and got the insurance on Kessler that they needed in the event that a trade didn't even take place. So, and the reason that I mentioned the Marcus Smart stuff earlier is, you know, the contract that that Smart is signing with Houston, or is likely signing with Houston, is very reasonable. And it tells me that the Lakers are, you know, really valuing their cap space, which means they're probably using that cap space, which, you know, would be kind of difficult for them to, breaking news from Shams, Kevin Huerter is going back to Detroit. All right. But with Smart signing a reasonable contract, likely somewhere else, a contract that the Lakers very easily could have swallowed. They, you know, it tells me that they are operating, you know, with cap space being their key asset here. And while their belief that some player would shake free to them by way of trade may not have played out the way that they wanted to, right? Like Lu Dort, his option was picked up by OKC, and OKC obviously already extended Isaiah Hartenstein. So like some of those players that the Lakers were hoping to land using that cap space and trade assets, maybe instead now they are planning on using that cap space on Kessler as step one of their offseason. And then it just becomes hoping that they offered enough to Kessler to make it so that Utah doesn't want to match that offer, and they lose him for nothing. So, you know, if that's how this plays out, right, and the Lakers have, you know, 50-ish million bucks in cap space, maybe you sign Kessler to like a $35, $37 million deal that leaves you $18 to $20 million in cap space beyond that. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Jonathan Kuminga was just, his option wasn't picked up by Atlanta. And we haven't seen anything about another deal that he and Atlanta agreed on, as part of that decision. So he just screams Rob Pelinka to me. And so maybe the Lakers use some of their cap space on him. You would then also have a mid-level exception that the Lakers would be able to utilize. Maybe you offer that to LeBron after you do everything else that you're looking to do to your roster, and say, this is all we can offer at this point. Let us know what you guys think between this or Golden State. Maybe you use some of that cap space on LeBron, to bring him back after you renounced him to sign Kessler. Maybe you use it on Rui, or maybe you continue to look across the, NBA landscape to try to find a deal using your assets, some of your expiring money, and some of that cap space to bring in, you know, some of these guys whose situations have changed because of some of the decisions made elsewhere throughout this offseason so far. But yeah, the Nurkic thing combined with the Ayton news made my ears perk up a little bit. It does. I've always thought Kessler was a bit of a long shot, but this was one of those rare days where I'm like, oh, maybe. Now, would landing Kessler be enough to make up for losing Marcus Smart and potentially losing LeBron James and losing Rui Hachimura? I don't know. All right. Let's see. The elsewhere in the NBA, you had frankly the biggest news of the day being Ja Morant being traded from the Memphis Grizzlies to the Portland Trail Blazers. The return on him was paltry. The Grizzlies took back Jeremy Grant's contract, as well as now they did get a young player, which Chris Murray, Keegan Murray's brother, I think they're twins. You know, from Memphis's standpoint, you know, that you have now completely moved on from the Bain, Brooks, Ja, Triple J, era. that is now over. You have turned the page now to, you know, the Edie, Camboozer, and whatever other young players that they are, you know, that Cedric Coward is another guy who I really like as part of their young core there.